Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. The Gen 40 heaters are back in stock. With skyrocketing heating bills, they sold out and will go fast again. If you missed the last special, order fast and now at EdenPureDeals.com. For this week or until they run out, you can get the stylish and strong Eden Pure Gen 40 heater with code Howie50.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm sitting in for Grace, who has a much-deserved day off. And things are turning kind of nasty out there as I look out the window. It's starting to turn to snow. And I'm Toby Leary. You're here with me for the rest of the day. And if you want to be a part of the show, give us a call. 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. We've been all over the map as far as guns are concerned, as far as the Speaker of the House, which is moving now to the 13th ballot. Maybe it'll be a lucky 13. We'll see. Doesn't seem like it to me, but you never know. And you can also text the show at 617-213-1066. Text Curly to 617-213-1066. We had a bunch of callers before the hard break. I know Don had some questions about LTC or statements. If you want to call back, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about that. We talked about the Supreme Court as it relates to this petition by these brothers from Utah, the Brunson brothers, the Trumpeteers, if you will, and how the irony of ironies is just dripping out of this whole thing, that it was set to be heard on January 6th. We had that caller, Maureen, who said that we'll know by Monday at 10:15. So we'll see what happens. It's going to make for interesting conversation. And the fact that the mainstream media has given exactly 0 minutes of coverage to it is no surprise whatsoever. Even something as profound as a citizen bringing a case all the way to the Supreme Court without a lawyer involved, I think is pretty cool. And, you know, I think that's government at work, or I should say that's the Constitution at work, because we're afforded certain rights as citizens. I know there's an overt action, if you will, out there by government to take those rights away or to hinder or to restrict them. But this is a proper play out, even though it was dismissed at district court and 10th Circuit Court of Appeals level, that it has now been docketed and will may or may not be granted certiorari, and only 4 Supreme Court justices are needed. But getting back to what I was alluding to of how government is this entity now, which has grown into this bloated tick of a self-sustaining organism that looks at the people that it represents as the human ATM machines, and wants to, you know, in this state, look at Massachusetts. You know, we have a new regime coming in, fresh regime, day two on the job. And even under the past regime, they look at us as ATM machines. Basically, they can tax us however which way they can think up. They dream up new schemes to tax and take your hard-earned dollars. And you know, the true heroes of the world, in my opinion, are the people that go to work every day. They're out driving along I-95. They're driving through this weather. They're white-knuckling it to Boston every day, or out to the job sites, or out to the attics and basements of homes in America. I've worked a blue-collar job, you know, most of my life, and you know, to see the guys who pull wire for a living, or you know, dig trenches or put pipe in the walls, those are my heroes. They're the guys that make the machine happen on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis in this country. And to see the elite, those that sit in their walled and gated communities with their security and with their pensions and their drivers and their cars and their stipends and their clubs that they affiliate with, and their they go there and they dream up ways of taking more of your hard-earned money. The Trump tax cuts are all set to expire, and we're going to see what happens there. Is Biden going to extend them or let them expire? Because that's going to directly affect the working class of America. And I think he's got a conundrum on his hand, because he said it was only going to benefit the rich, or that the Trump tax cuts were to pay back his rich buddies and they're going to only affect the rich. But yet it has helped mainstream America more than anything in the past 4 to 6 years, if you ask me, and especially in this depressionary or recessionary economy that we're in, where everything is more expensive, gas is ridiculous, food is off the charts, things are hard to acquire, hard to get, we have shortages, we have supply chain issues, we have an open border, we have all this stuff going on, and yet we still dream up schemes and ways of taking more of your money to give to other countries while our border is wide open, and to, you know, donate to trails or walking trails, or to pad the ATF's coffers for millions and millions of more. You know, don't even ask for certain budgetary increases, and they get $4 billion more. It's unbelievable. We got a lot we could talk about on Friday here. It's crazy with, the 13th ballot round underway, the Supreme Court hearing the Brunson v. Adams case, and all the incoming administrations in whatever state you live in, new regimes. We got Maura Healey at the helm. We have an AG that's even more hostile to civilian ownership of firearms than she was. So we got a lot we can talk about, but right now we're going to go to the phones. Kevin, you're on the line. Go ahead, Kevin. You're next on the Grace Curley Show.
Hey, Toby. Good talking to you. Hey, I'm interested in buying a 1911 chambered 9mm without breaking the bank, right? So I was doing some research on Rock Island Armory has one, I think it's called a mil-spec or G1 or something like that. And I don't know if you had any input or... Right. And if those are even available in a lovely state of Massachusetts.
Yeah, they are available, surprisingly, but it's a interesting question nonetheless, because I have emails on a daily basis of somebody in this state looking for, you know, fill in the blank brand, Kimber or, Wilson Combat or some other brand of 1911, and they'd like to get one, and I have to be the bearer of bad news. So, Rock Island is available. It's a Philippine made gun. It's pretty rugged and reliable. I'm not exactly enamored by their fit and finish and their overall quality, but the one thing I will say is it does tend to run pretty well. I haven't seen too many catastrophic failures with the gun. I only know of one catastrophic failure, and it might have been ammo related, so I wouldn't want to cast aspersions against the Rock Island Armory, because it could have been ammo. So the bottom line is, it's a decent gun for the price point it's in. It's I think a $500 to $600 gun. I would probably recommend you make a slight jump up to either the Carr Arms or the Springfield Armory mil-spec. The mil-spec, I feel, is a good, really good price point gun. It's right around $850. You're still sub $1,000 range, but I would say they're substantially better guns. They're made in America. And also the Carr Arms, which is the auto ordnance. I say Carr, but it's really auto ordnance. So the auto ordnance GI model is an American made one in that $600 to $700 price point. So hopefully that helps, and they do make those in 9mm as well. So I like the 9mm 1911, practically speaking. It's less recoil, holds a little bit more, holds 10 rounds. So hopefully that helps you out, Kevin, on your search, and you can always shoot one down at Cape Gunworks if you want to come in sometime. Don in Stoughton, you are next on the Grace Curley Show. How are you, Don?
Oh, there you are, Toby. Yeah, no, we're doing good, sir. And last hour you were talking about standing regarding the situation before the Supreme Court. Well, you know, standing works both ways, Toby. Mm-hmm. In order for a law to have any veracity, it must have standing. In other words, there must be some reason for the law to exist, and it must be a constitutional reason. And I like to be a bugaboo about the Massachusetts gun laws. The first Massachusetts gun, quote, licensing law was in 1906. I don't know if you know that.
I did not.
Basically, it goes down. Yeah, no, 1906 is the first one. I'll send you that later on an email. And the 1906 law, Toby, says that you have to be a suitable person. But guess what, Toby? They don't tell you what a suitable person is. But the bigger question is, why was the licensing law needed to be enacted? And I searched and searched, Toby, and I cannot find a substantive reason why the 1906 gun law was enacted. For what reason? Was everybody running around with guns shooting people? Were there too many people? You know, there's nothing, Toby. It's as if it just appeared out of nowhere, like it had no standing in order to exist. But this also goes to the attorney general, who is now the governor, Miss Healey. She banned certain type firearms without standing. What was the reason they were banned? Can you give us some reason? Can it be corrected? And then secondly, the gun testing. Now, a gun has to fire X number of rounds. Well, what is that based upon? Toby, I have a degree in engineering, and there has to be certain expectations for a firearm to function. And if it meets that criteria, then no state or other authority can demand greater testing unless it's for very specific needs. So when it comes to standing, Toby, the Massachusetts gun laws, the licensing laws, have no standing, and the gun bans have no standing, and the gun testing have no standing, Toby.
I couldn't agree with you more. I got to hold you right there, Don. We'll talk about this on the other side, and Jared has an important... oh, no, I lied. We're going to break. We'll be back after this, but I want to follow up on what you said, Don. You bring up some great points. This is Toby Leary sitting in for Grace Curley. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Answering the hard-hitting questions of our time.
Let's say you're abducted by aliens.
Fine.
They haul you aboard the mothership, take you back to their planet as a curiosity. Now, would you rather be in their zoo or their circus?
It's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I am your guest host today, Toby Leary, and we've had a wonderful time so far talking about all kinds of stuff. But right now, I want to find out where we stand with our own poll, which is running simultaneous to the 13th ballot of Kevin McCarthy in the speaker vote here. So it's brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. My friends at Eden Pure are extending their Gen 40 heater special for one more week while supplies last. So reduce your heating bills with the Gen 40 heater. Order fast and now at EdenPureDeals.com. Save $50 with code GRACE50. Jared, what is the poll results and what is the poll and what are the results?
Will Kevin McCarthy ultimately become Speaker of the House?
Yes, I believe he will.
71% now believe yes. 29% believe no. Razor thin on round 13, though. Four other votes. He can only afford, I believe, two more before that. Biggs, Boebert, Crane, and Gates are the representative elects who continue to remain holding out against Kevin McCarthy.
And there's 29% holdout on our own poll.
Yes.
I am not one of
29 votes, 29% of the votes from Matt Gaetz in our poll.
I am not one of those holdouts. I believe McCarthy will be named speaker at some point, but I am pulling for the holdouts in the Congress. So anyway, I digress. One of the other things that really we haven't talked about today, but I believe is very substantial, is the fact that there is still, I believe, 50 or 60 people sitting in a DC gulag as a result of the January 6th insurrection. And you could play a whole host of cuts about the insurrection that Donald Trump incited, which would not be family friendly if you play the wrong quotes on that. But the point of the matter is a lot of people who were there that day, and by the way, this was the largest gathering on the DC Mall in the history of our country, I believe. Anyway, it was 2.5 million people were there that day. And some of them went to the Congress and, you know, the House, and entered illegally. Ironically enough, there's still hundreds of hours of videotape that haven't been released about that, and hours of, you know, different camera angles. And of the ones that have been released in people's cell phones, and this could get you banned on Twitter once upon a time. We didn't even get to the whole Twitter dump and Twitter files. I'd love, you could do a whole nother show on that. But there's video evidence that has been out there. You can Google it and see it for yourself, where doors were opened, barricades were moved out of the way, people were waved in. And now some of these people who entered in were arrested after investigations were done, after their cell phones were pinged and data was pinged, and to find out that they were actually there and where they were inside the chamber, et cetera, et cetera. And these people are still sitting in prison, in some cases uncharged. You know, they haven't had a trial date set, they haven't had a bail set, because they're so dangerous that they ventured into an area where they were forbidden to go. And I'm not making excuses for them, but what other crime can you be incarcerated indefinitely without charges and without bail being set? It's not like they killed people. It's not like they, you know, burnt the place to the ground. It's not like they have a propensity and a violent history and past, and they've been on the 10 most wanted list. I heard today that Sam Bankman-Fried is going to be out on $250 million cash bail bond. And yet, if you wandered into the wrong place on January 6th, you might still be sitting in a gulag in DC with cruel and unusual punishment. Some of these people are suffering from severe mental illness as a result of this. And their families, their business owners, their veterans, their fathers, their mothers, and they're not allowed to leave. And in some cases, their lawyers aren't even afforded access. So this is, I think, one of the biggest travesties upon our country in the past 2 years. You want to talk about all the stuff that happened where Antifa was burning cities down and they had to board up police departments. They had to, you know, get people out of certain areas because of protections, and crime was running rampant. Every single one of those Antifa people that were caught burning and looting and smashing were all given cash bond or bail or released on their own personal recognizance, depending on which city they were arrested in, and given counsel. And they had celebrities and lawyers and politicians who were footing the bill for their legal bill and paying the money. You had PACs and George Soros putting up fund groups to pay for the bail, to pay them to go protest, to pay them for all this. But yet we have people who went to the U.S. Capitol on January 6th that are still sitting and rotting in prison. And if you think they shouldn't have been there, if you are upset that they were there to cause an insurrection, which, you know, that's up for debate as well, but how, as an American, do you think that what's happening to them is justice? It is absolutely a travesty, and it is a violation of the Constitution and everything that we hold dear here in the rule of law as Americans. But yeah, we have a special segment coming up after this. You don't want to miss it. More after this. We'll be right back on the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. And as promised, we have a special segment for you, which has become extremely popular here on the Grace Curley Show. And it is with Emma, who has Who Said That, right?
Right, yep.
All right, why don't you explain to everyone while they load up the lines, if you want to play Who Said That with Emma? It's 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. And while they're loading up the lines, why don't you go ahead and explain the rules?
Right. So we are back. We've taken a little bit of a hiatus from Who Said That, but we are back with a good one this week. It's going to be Baker versus Baller. So our outgoing governor, Charlie Baker, who himself is a baller, and we're going to have listeners call in. I'll give a quote. It's either from Governor Baker or a real basketball player. Mm. And listeners can guess, and they have a chance to win a Make Gas Cheap Again t-shirt.
Oh, and yeah. Hey. He averaged half a point over 8 games when he was at Harvard. Number 30 in your program and number 1 in your hearts. So
always number 1 in our hearts.
I forgot to put the shirt on. I'm going to do that. So tell us about how, go ahead, what Charlie Baker's statistics or something. Give me 1 second here.
All right, yeah. Charlie Baker played 8 games for Harvard in 1978, I believe. He averaged 0.4 points per game, so I rounded up for him for that. I think he only managed to play a total of 8 to 11 minutes or something like that.
I feel better already.
It was 8 games, I remember that much.
Games, and he averaged a half a point a game?
Yeah.
I have a question. Who is a better baller, Charlie Baker or Mara Healy?
Ooh, that's a really good one.
I would probably say, that's tough. Mara Healy, I think, would probably be...
In a one-on-one?
In a one-on-one, I think she could take him.
That should be a 1v1 match right there, I think.
That's how the governorship should have been decided.
Exactly, yeah.
Of course.
Next time.
Yeah. You know, they need to consult with us every once in a while. And we come up with good ideas. But that would be like the battle of the sexes for the ages. Like, I remember when they had the tennis match. I think it was between, I forget the guy. It wasn't a professional tennis player, but he was a good tennis player. And I think like Billie Jean King or something, and she rocked him because, you know, it wasn't
Bobby
like,
Riggs.
Yeah. Is that who it was?
Yeah, it was Billie Jean versus Bobby Riggs.
Yeah. It wasn't like John McEnroe versus Billie Jean King. You know what I mean? So, but that would be a good one. I think Charlie Baker would have the size advantage, obviously. And
Riggs was also 55 in that match.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
I know it isn't. They don't ever take like 2 elite athletes in their prime, except in women's sports. Like they take a lot of transgendered men and put them in the swimming pool, and you know. So I think that's how the results go. But anyway, I'm way off track here. So 844-500-4242 is the number if you want to call and be on Who Said That. This is a great subject. Baller or Baker.
Would you like to give it a shot?
I do. I really would like to give it a shot.
So. All right, Toby. You're our first contestant.
And by the way, you could win this Make Gas Cheap Again shirt. And
first
I feel
and
better.
Possibly only contestant.
And I feel better already wearing it. So I'm putting my name in the running for the shirt. But anyway, go ahead.
All right, here is your first quote. Baker or Baller? I like Chris Christie. I like Jeb Bush. I like those guys.
That has to be Baker.
That's Charles Barkley.
Wow.
A different Charlie.
You threw a whammy at me there. Because I'm thinking, you know, 2 other rhinos that they got to be right up Baker's alley.
He's probably said that thing.
He certainly thought those sentiments, I would say. Unless, I don't know, they might have been too right wing for him. You never know. All right, give me one more. I don't want to steal all the caller's thunder, but 844-500-4242 if you want to play Who Said That with Emma, and or else I'm going to take it all myself. But go ahead.
I've had tendonitis since college.
Tendonitis since college. So I'm going to go with Baker again on that one.
That's Michael Jordan.
Man.
Tough.
It is a tough one. This is really tough. But very good, very good. And you had some news for me as we were coming in. You said you were...
Yeah, so I have a New Year's resolution.
Okay.
And it's to get my license to carry in Massachusetts.
Ooh.
I had one in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And among other shocks moving here from Pennsylvania, this was one of them. So when I got it in PA, I filled out a form online. It cost $25. And within 3 days, they emailed me to come pick it up. They took the photo there and I left. Now in Massachusetts, I'm on the site and there are a whole plethora of things I need to do. It costs $100. I need to take a class. So can you kind of advise me where to start?
Yes. And I apologize for our state, Emma. I'm trying to be a good ambassador for reasons to move to Massachusetts and fight the good fight, but it's a short list. But anyway, you so eloquently put it, that's the contrast of other states. And that's how our state loves it. They want to throw every roadblock in your way. So the first thing to get out of the way is get the class done. So take the class. We'll certainly help you out at Cape Gunworks if you want to come. And depending on what town you're in, they may or may not require live fire on the class. So you might have to take a live fire class where you actually shoot a gun. But not every town is like that. And so once you get that done, you can then fill out your application and you got to put all the, like you said, there's a lot of hoops to jump through with that application. And then you bring it down to the police department with your check for $100 and your completed class certificate. And you pay another, $100 depending on whatever you paid for the class. And you pay the town, you go down to your local PD, pay them $100. They're going to fingerprint you, photograph you, and send it to the state to do a comprehensive background check. And they're going to do their own background check on you. And when all that's done, they're going to issue the license, which could take anywhere from 2 to 4 months.
So not 3 days.
No, definitely not 3 days. My friend who moved from Massachusetts to Pennsylvania said he was given one on the spot when he went in and paid his $25. They gave it to him on the spot.
I've been told that if you move to Florida, you switch your license at the DMV or RMV, and they ask if you also want your gun license. It's just so freely given down there.
Yeah, the gunshine state. But as you're practicing your enumerated constitutionally protected rights, why should you need to do anything, right?
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. We would never tolerate that same level of roadblock for any other right that we have. So if I wanted to give a speech at the college next week, or take today, for instance, my words are going out over the airwaves. And if I wanted to do that and, somebody came to me and said, well, you can't do it until you've taken a class, paid a fee, got background checked, went to a government mandated class that tells you what you can and can't say, and then pay the fee. And then 2 to 4 months later, we'll give you a permit so that you can speak on the air. That's ridiculous, right?
Right.
We would have had a revolution.
Well, that sounds like what they're doing in Canada with the re-education and you can't speak, you can't profess unless you take a class and learn how to speak.
Yeah, don't give them any ideas. But that's been happening here too. It's just they don't call it a government agency. They outsource it to Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and all these other platforms and say it's hate speech if you want to talk about something that's not approved government, but I digress. I mean, it's ridiculous how many hoops you have to jump through to exercise the right that says shall not be infringed.
Right. And even in Pennsylvania, I was a little shocked by the fee, even though it was only $25, because I thought to myself, where on earth is this going? Processing is all online. A piece of paper doesn't cost that much. I'm not sure why. But the reassuring thing was when I showed up at the courthouse to pick it up, there were a lot of other people doing it too.
Mm.
All different races, both genders, all in line. It was so that was very reassuring.
That was a very hateful thing that you said. Both genders. I thought there was like countless genders.
All the genders were there.
Okay, there we go.
Picking up their gun licenses.
Nice.
Birthing people.
Give me one more of those. I got to go out with a win here. I'm 0 for 2.
Okay. Let's see. I'm a big strawberry shortcake fan as well. I'm not mad at classic vanilla. I'm not sure what the word is. Cake discriminatory? Cakeist?
Okay, I'm going to go with baller on this one.
You are correct. It's Woo. Kevin McHale.
Nice. Oh, Kevin McHale. Yeah.
All right, round 13 looks like another downfall for McCarthy. It's razor thin right now. Six non-McCarthy votes. One of the previous seven holdouts, Harris, Andy Harris flipped to vote for McCarthy, but he's still, it's possible if one of the Democrats votes for him that he may get there, but I don't think it's happening. So it looks like right now he's going to lose round 13 as well, but there may be some shenanigan that happens.
I got to hand it to Democrats. They really know how to toe the party line.
That's right. Yep.
They really don't break rank very
easily.
They're
not budging. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe because, as we said before, that this is part of the, you know, they're hoping that this is coming off very poorly for Republicans, but who knows? I actually enjoy it and think it's good for democracy or for our rule of law or for our constitutional republic. I hate that word, democracy. That's so touted all the time. We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic, but hopefully you'll be able to get that license to carry through in an expeditious manner, although I know what you're up against in this state. And by the way, state law says they have to respond within 40 days. They never do. So rules for them and rules for you, but they don't have to follow the rules, but you have to.
And how can I book a class at Cape Gunworks?
You just go to the calendar, go to the website, capegunworks.com, and you can go click on the calendar and you'll see all of our upcoming classes. I think we have about 5 or 6 classes a week, and various ones are live fire. Some are not live fire, but we'll talk offline about what town you live in and figure out if you need to take the live fire class or not. And we'll get you in the appropriate class. All of that's ridiculous, if you ask me. And hopefully we'll one day be challenged in a court of law, which will throw it out as unconstitutional. But yeah, it's craziness and nonsense. But
Toby, on the way out, we do have a text question for you, actually. Okay. Wants to know, is the SIG 9mm 124 grain Elite Performance good out of a 16-inch carbine, or does it overexpand?
No, it's great. It'll work great. In fact, I know a lot of the pistol caliber carbine rounds are 125 grain, so I like the heavier bullet weight. And that Elite Performance ammo is very, very good. It's expensive, but it should perform flawlessly out of a pistol caliber carbine. So do we have time for one more? Baller versus sure. Baker. All right, hit me.
You just can't be surprised when you get surprised.
I would say that's Joe Biden, but that he's not on the list. So go with Baller on that one.
That's Charlie Baker.
I am 1 for 3 on this one. Good job.
You're a loser.
Thank you.
I am a loser. You stumped the chump today. And we have the car crossover next. So we will be right back after this. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
And welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I've had a great time with you today. We've covered a lot of ground. We've spoke about a whole bunch of stuff. But right now I want to tell you about the car crossover, which is Tux Trucks GMC, has a great combo for moving snow. It is snowing out there right now, and maybe up north you're getting some snow, so you got to get a GMC Sierra HD paired with a Fisher XV2 plow. For commercial or residential snow removal, you'll have all the power you need for any winter storm. Shop online today at TuxTrucksGMC.com, and you're going to need it. So, well, who ate for Howie, but again, I had a great time talking with you, but I just read a quick thing on my phone over the break, and Ashley Babbitt's mother has been arrested in D.C. as she was peacefully protesting the second anniversary of her mother's death, of her daughter's death, excuse me, and unbelievable, talk about insult to injury, and I think she was arrested for jaywalking, if I'm not mistaken. How do you make this stuff up? They just want to continually put salt on the wound and double down that they're not wrong in this situation. And you know, that's why they won't let the protesters out of the DC gulag, and they're keeping them in solitary confinement pending whatever charges they're going to have brought against them. And some people have actually pled guilty just to, you know, get transferred to a regular prison and to actually have an end date about when they're going to get out. So some people are like, hey, yeah, I'll plead guilty to insurrection, just whatever I got to do. And now for the next year and a half, they're going to serve time in some other jail, but at least they won't be in this horrible environment where they're, you know, whatever. But just
round 13 is over. It's no Kevin McCarthy speakership yet.
All right. So
he did gain one more vote.
Lucky 13 did not happen, but they're giving him a little hope that, you know, if this continues on for six more rounds, maybe with incrementally, they'll be able to make it.
We're hearing that the McCarthy camp does not want to adjourn for the day, so they'll keep going until as long as they want to, I guess. Yeah, I think that is, I don't know if it's a rule that they do a maximum of three within a day, but they're going to do at least three, it looks like.
Well, that'll give you some more entertainment if you're finding this.
Oh wait, they did five yesterday, so yeah, I'm dumb, never mind.
Yeah, political theater. But anyway, Howie, I know you're gonna have a great show for us as always. How you been?
Very good. We're gonna be talking about the speaker's fight, obviously. It's still hanging on. I'm just this happy that it's going on because, you know, as long as we get through this January 6th, you know, Liz Cheney said she wanted to make sure January 6th would never happen again. Guess what? It's happened. It's January 6th.
It does seem to happen, whether she likes it or not. Yeah, another failure. Chalk it up to another failure for Liz. But yeah, I agree. And honestly, I think that it's keeping one thing, and that is Congress from further infringing upon our rights or raising our taxes or, you know, sending more money to some other country that, you know, we work very hard for in this country. So every day that happens is a win in my book.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm sorry about that phone there.
No problem. We know, busy man. So, well, we've been following it along and wondering if it'll happen while we're here, but you know, it depends who you talk to. I know Lauren Boebert was saying his candidacy is DOA and the nail in the coffin. It's not going to happen. But then you hear other people say, hey, we made a deal. So,
yeah, it looks like he's only two or three votes away.
Right, yeah. And I think if anything, it's proven.
You want to be the last guy to flip your vote. Man, the world is your oyster, I think, isn't it?
I think so, or you might never sit on a committee again. I don't know. But all right, have a great show, Howie. I appreciate you having me on. We'll be back next time for the Grace Curley Show. Thanks again. I'm Toby Leary. Take care.